Chapter 6. Where heaves the turf in many a mouldering heap. For reasons of his own, Stephen Smith was stirring a short time after dawn the next morning. From the window of his room he could see, first, two bold escarpments sloping down together like the letter 5. Towards the bottom, like liquid in a funnel, appeared the sea, gray and small. On the brow of one hill, of rather greater altitude than its neighbor, stood the church which was to be the scene of his operations. The lonely edifice was black and bare, cutting up into the sky from the very tip of the hill. It had a square moldering tower, owning neither battlement nor pinnacle, and seemed a monolithic termination of one substance with the ridge, rather than a structure raised thereon. Round the church ran a low wall. Overtopping the wall in general level was the graveyard. Not as a graveyard usually is, a fragment of landscape with its due variety of chiaroscuro, but a mere profile against the sky, serrated with the outlines of graves, and a very few memorial stones. Not a tree could exist up there. Nothing but the monotonous gray-green grass. 5 minutes after this casual survey was made, his bedroom was empty, and its occupant had vanished quietly from the house. At the end of 2 hours he was again in the room, looking warm and glowing. He now pursued the artistic details of dressing, which on his first rising had been entirely omitted. And a very blooming boy he looked, after that mysterious morning scamper. His mouth was a triumph of its class. It was the cleanly cut, piquantly pursed up mouth of William Pitt, as represented in the well, or little known bust by Nollekins, a mouth which is in itself a young man's fortune, if properly exercised. His round chin, where its upper part turned inward, still continued its perfect and full curve, seeming to press into a point the bottom of his nether lip at their place of junction. Once he murmured the name of Elfride. Ah, there she was! On the lawn in a plain dress, without hat or bonnet, running with a boy's velocity, superadded to a girl's lightness, after a tame rabbit she was endeavoring to capture, her strategic intonations of coaxing words alternating with desperate rushes, so much out of keeping with them, that the hollowness of such expressions was but too evident to her pet, who darted and dodged in carefully timed counterpart. The scene down there was altogether different from that of the hills. A thicket of shrubs and trees enclosed the favored spot from the wilderness without. Even at this time of the year the grass was luxuriant there. No wind blew inside the protecting belt of evergreens, wasting its force upon the higher and stronger trees forming the outer margin of the grove. Then he heard a heavy person shuffling about in slippers, and calling Mr. Smith. Smith proceeded to the study, and found Mr. Swankert. The young man expressed his gladness to see his host downstairs. Oh yes, I knew I should soon be right again. I have not made the acquaintance of gout for more than 2 years, and it generally goes off the second night. Well, where have you been this morning? I saw you come in just now, I think. Yes, I have been for a walk. Start early? Yes. Very early, I think. Yes, it was rather early. Which way did you go? To the sea, I suppose. Everybody goes seaward. No, I followed up the river as far as the park wall. You are different from your kind. Well, I suppose such a wild place is a novelty, and so tempted you out of bed? Not altogether a novelty. I like it. The youth seemed averse to explanation. You must, to go cock-watching the morning after a journey of 14 or 16 hours. But there's no accounting for tastes, and I am glad to see that yours are no meaner. After breakfast, but not before, I shall be good for a 10 miles walk, Master Smith. Certainly there seemed nothing exaggerated in that assertion. Mr. Swankert by daylight showed himself to be a man who, in common with the other two people under his roof, had really strong claims to be considered handsome. Handsome, that is, in the sense in which the moon is bright. The ravines and valleys which, on a close inspection, are seen to diversify its surface being left out of the argument. His face was of a tint that never deepened upon his cheeks nor lightened upon his forehead, but remained uniform throughout, the usual neutral salmon color of a man who feeds well, not to say too well, and does not think hard, every pore being in visible working order. His town ensemble was that of a highly improved class of farmer, dressed up in the wrong clothes, that of a firm-standing perpendicular man, whose fall would have been backwards in direction, if he had ever lost his balance. The vicar's background was at present, what a vicar's background should be, his study. Here the consistency ends. All along the chimney-piece were ranged bottles of horse, pig, and cow medicines, and against the wall was a high table, made up of the fragments of an old oak H-gate. Upon this stood stuffed specimens of owls, divers, and gulls, and over them bunches of wheat and barley ears, labeled with the date of the year that produced them. Some cases and shelves, more or less laden with books, the prominent titles of which were Dr. Brown's Notes on the Romans, apostrophe Dr. Smith's Notes on the Corinthians, apostrophe and Dr. Robinson's Notes on the Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, apostrophe just saved the character of the place, in spite of a girl's doll's house standing above them, a marine aquarium in the window, and Elfright's hat hanging on its corner. Business, business. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Swankert after breakfast. He began to find it necessary to act the part of a flywheel towards the somewhat irregular forces of his visitor. They prepared to go to the church, the vicar, on second thoughts, mounting his coal black mare, to avoid exerting his foot too much at starting. Stephen said he should want a man to assist him. Worm. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the vicar shouted. A minute or two after, a voice was heard round the corner of the building, mumbling, "Ah, I used to be strong enough, but 'tis altered now. Well, there, I'm as independent as one here and there, even if they do write squire after their names. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what's the matter?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the vicar, as William Worm appeared, when the remarks were repeated to him. Worm says some very true things sometimes, apostrophe Mr. Swankert said, turning to Stephen. Now, as regards that word, squire. Why, Mr. Smith, that word, squire is gone to the dogs, used on the letters of every jackanapes who has a black coat. Anything else, Worm? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the folk have begun frying again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, dear me. I'm sorry to hear that. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, Worm said groaningly to Stephen, I've got such a noise in my head, that there's no living night nor day. 'Tis just for all the world like people frying fish. Fry, 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 all day long in my poor head, till I don't know where I'm here yonder. There, God Almighty will find it out sooner or later, I hope, and relieve me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, now, my deafness, apostrophe, said Mr. Swankert impressively, is a dead silence, but William Worm's is that of people frying fish in his head. Very remarkable, isn't it? Apostrophe, I can hear the frying pan a fizzing as natural as life, apostrophe, said Worm corroboratively. Yes, it is remarkable, apostrophe, said Mr. Smith. Very peculiar, apostrophe echoed the vicar, and they all then followed the path up the hill, bounded on each side by a little stone wall, from which gleamed fragments of quartz and blood-red marbles, apparently of inestimable value, in their setting of brown alluvium. Stephen walked with the dignity of a man close to the horse's head, Worm stumbled along a stone's throw in the rear, and Elfright was nowhere in particular, yet everywhere, sometimes in front, sometimes behind, sometimes at the sides, hovering about the procession like a butterfly, not definitely engaged in traveling, yet somehow chiming in at points with the general progress. The vicar explained things as he went on. The fact is, Mr. Smith, I didn't want this bother of church restoration at all, but it was necessary to do something in self-defense, on account of those dissenters. I use the word in its scriptural meaning, of course, not as an expletive. Apostrophe apostrophe, how very odd. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Stephen, with the concern demanded of serious friendliness. Odd? That's nothing to how it is in the parish of Twinkley. Both the church wardens are, there, I won't say what they are, and the clerk and the sexton as well. Apostrophe apostrophe, how very strange. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Stephen. Strange? My dear sir, that's nothing to how it is in the parish of Sinnerton. However, as to our own parish, I hope we shall make some progress soon. Apostrophe apostrophe, you must trust to circumstances. Apostrophe apostrophe, there are no circumstances to trust to. We may as well trust in Providence, if we trust at all. But here we are. A wild place, isn't it? But I like it on such days as these. Apostrophe, the churchyard was entered on this side by a stone stile, over which having clambered, you remained still on the wild hill, the within not being so divided from the without, as to obliterate the sense of open freedom. A delightful place to be buried in, postulating that delight can accompany a man to his tomb under any circumstances. There was nothing horrible in this churchyard, in the shape of tight mounds bonded with sticks, which shout imprisonment in the ears, rather than whisper rest, or trim garden flowers, which only raise images of people in new black crepe, and white handkerchiefs coming to tend them, or wheel marks, which remind us of hearses and mourning coaches, or cypress bushes, which make a parade of sorrow, or coffin boards and bones lying behind trees, showing that we are only leaseholders of our graves. No, nothing but long, wild, untutored grass, diversifying the forms of the mounds it covered, themselves irregularly shaped, with no eye to effect, the impressive presence of the old mountain, that all this was a part of being nowhere excluded by disguising art. Outside were similar slopes and similar grass, and then the serene impassive sea, visible to a width of half the horizon, and meeting the eye with the effect of a vast concave, like the interior of a blue vessel. Detached rocks stood upright afar, a collar of foam girding their bases, and repeating in its whiteness the plumage of a countless multitude of gulls, that restlessly hovered about. Now, worm! Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Swankert sharply, and Worm started into an attitude of attention at once to receive orders. Stephen and himself were then left in possession, and the work went on till early in the afternoon, when dinner was announced by Unity of the vicarage kitchen running up the hill without a bonnet. Elfride did not make her appearance inside the building till late in the afternoon, and came then by special invitation from Stephen during dinner. She looked so intensely living and full of movement as she came into the old silent place, that young Smith's world began to be lit by the purple light in all its definiteness. Worm was got rid of by sending him to measure the height of the tower. What could she do, but come close, so close, that a minute arc of her skirt touched his foot, and asked him how he was getting on with his sketches, and set herself to learn the principles of practical mensuration as applied to irregular buildings. Then she must ascend the pulpit, to reimagine for the 100th time, how it would seem to be a preacher. Presently she leant over the front of the pulpit. Don't you tell Papa, will you, Mr. Smith, if I tell you something? Apostrophe apostrophe, she said with a sudden impulse to make a confidence. Oh no, that I won't, apostrophe said he, staring up. Well, I write Papa's sermons for him very often, and he preaches them better than he does his own. And then afterwards he talks to people, and to me about what he said in his sermon today, and forgets that I wrote it for him. Isn't it absurd? Apostrophe, how clever you must be. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Stephen. I couldn't write a sermon for the world. Apostrophe apostrophe O, it's easy enough. Apostrophe she said, descending from the pulpit and coming close to him to explain more vividly. You do it like this. Did you ever play a game of forfeits called Hen Is It? Where is it? What is it? Apostrophe, no, never. Apostrophe apostrophe ah, that's a pity, because writing a sermon is very much like playing that game. You take the text. You think, why is it? What is it? And so on. You put that down under Enderly. Then you proceed to the first, secondly, and thirdly. Papa won't have fourthly says they are all my eye. Then you have a final collectively, several pages of this being put in great black brackets, writing opposite, leave this out, if the farmers are falling asleep. Then comes here in conclusion, then a few words and I have done. Well, all this time you have put on the back of each page, keep your voice down I mean, she added, correcting herself, that's how I do in Papa's sermon book, because otherwise he gets louder and louder, till at last he shouts like a farmer up a field. Oh, Papa is so funny in some things. Apostrophe, then, after this childish burst of confidence, she was frightened, as if warned by womanly instinct, which for the moment her ardor had outrun, that as he had been too forward to a comparative stranger. Elfright saw her father then, and went away into the wind, being caught by a gust as she ascended the churchyard slope, in which gust as he had the motions, without the motives, of a hoyden, the grace, without the self-consciousness, of a pirouetter. She conversed for a minute or two with her father, and proceeded homeward, Mr. Swankert coming onto the church to Stephen. The wind had freshened his warm complexion as it freshens the glow of a brand. He was in a mood of jollity, and watched Elfright down the hill with a smile. You little flyaway, you look wild enough now, apostrophe he said, and turned to Stephen. But she's not a wild child at all, Mr. Smith. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.